Hey everybody, welcome to episode 29. I'm Jim.
I'm Dale.
And we are those crazy Bible study guys.
And happy day to you, Jim. Happy day everybody out there in listening land. Hope you all are having a good day. Man, oh man, we're going to be talking about something. Boy, you know those movies where you get a twist, like a plot twist? Boy, this is kind of what I think this one's going to be like. It's loving your enemies.
Ooh. Always a tough one.
It is. I was kind of skimming the first, you know, the first verse, which again, we don't read these before. I was just skimming the first verse. I was like, man, it's like a plot twist, man. Like, it's a, you know, Jesus coming in hot and heavy and being like, yeah, what do you think you know? Boom, reverse it. Scratch that, reverse, try it this way. Like, wow. Like, insights, man, insights. So,
I think stuff. I think it's going to be similar to our previous study or last episode where we were talking about retaliation. Where we kind of talked about this, like, I think the footnotes brought this out, is like, this takes a God level of love to do, right? Our human nature to love enemies, it goes against the grain of just who we are as human beings, right? It's that it's hard to forgive someone. So it'll be interesting to get into this. I actually have some notes of when I studied this before, so I'm gonna integrate those into a little bit too of
bring in some new facts, some highlights.
So maybe I'll submit them to see if they can get integrated into the future footnotes when they do the next revision.
I'm liking that. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, I wonder if they do that. That's actually like a fun thought. Like, I wonder, you know, again, they have to think of this kind of stuff. Like, you know, do they update that? Do they can survey questions and survey results?
You know, maybe we should do that. We just start a log now of like all the insights that come from our study that, maybe not. That's probably not a good idea.
Yeah. No, they'll just laugh at us and be like, really, guys? Really? Come on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We should probably stick to what we do best, which is just read God's word and read the insights from the scholars and hope that God provides us some insight in the middle.
Yeah. Amen. So let's jump in. Let's do that because I'm excited about this. Like, I'm excited to see where it's going to take us.
I am too.
You know, I think about the word just love, right? You know, our title here is Jesus Teaches About Loving Enemies. And you think of love, and I was actually thinking of this just a second ago, is just all of the different types of love that there is. You know, we use the word, I think, a lot more than we probably realize in a day. Like, oh, I love this or I love that. And, oh, you know, hey, bro, love you. You know, kind
love
of a
you,
thing.
Man. But, yep.
Yeah. And so, like, there's so much different levels of love. And we don't realize it because, like, again, I remember constantly hearing about, like, agape love. Okay, well, that's you know, you were mentioning about that deep love that only God can show, and then, you know, the unconditional love. And I remember growing up, it's like, sure, okay, I get it. I know what love means. I know the heart. You know, yeah. But man, like, I didn't know what unconditional love was until the day I met my son. You know, first time, like, whoa, like, man, it's like, I'm willing to fight for anything I truly believe in. But like, man, when I saw my kiddo, I'm like, dude, I'm willing to throw everything down for you, buddy. Like,
it's a game changer for sure.
It is. It's a complete game changer. And that's what I think, you know, is what we're going to see the Savior do today. He's going to bring a different awareness of love that we never considered. So, yeah, I'm excited to learn and grow today, man. It's going to be a good one. So, all right, how about I open us in prayer, and then we'll jump in, which we are in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to hit 43 through the rest of the chapter, 48, so not too many verses today. All right, so let me open us in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this new day. We thank you for your willingness just to coach and teach us, Lord, the ability to grow and to do what you call us to do, and Lord, show us those different perspectives. It's always amazing when we do get to have that different perspective change. So, Lord, let us learn today, let us grow today, and let us apply today. We thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, man. Matthew 5:43-48 goes like this. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect. Therefore, your heavenly Father is perfect.
Ooh.
I had a nice big pause because you guys know how I feel when I hear therefore.
Yeah, I got it in there, man.
Father is perfect.
Our new sound effect.
I love it, man.
And can you kind of remind people in case they didn't hear the previous episode about the three stomps after therefore?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I call it the Mike Petty stomping. And what that was, Mike Petty was my youth leader, amazing man. And whenever he saw therefore, there always was a lesson. There's always a key moment to take away. And so to get all of us youngsters in line, he would just randomly, crazily in the room, just stomp really hard three times. And boy, that got our attention. And then he would hit that key message there. And that's how we always knew something important was coming up. Like, obviously, all of this is important, but this was like a heavy hitter moment. So, yeah. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you out there.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. So. That's going to be a good one. And I'm so glad you paused because I did not foresee the therefore coming. So I had to do the quick move there. So, I mean, the first thing that's coming to my mind as you read this was like, you know, it's easy for us to love, right? Like everyone can see, and he's showing all these examples of potential, you know, unrighteous, the tax collector, right? That was in the day of Jesus' day, right? That was the most probably unrighteous person people thought of, right? Was the tax collector. So, you know, and even they love those who love them. So this whole point of this is not normal, right? Like he says at the beginning, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. That's basically what people do, right? That's human nature right there, right? That's the worldly view of love, right? And it, as God does, right, he brings out the opposites here of, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. These are some of my notes that I had earlier that I was telling you, some of my cheat sheets, and they kind of really do apply here, is like that process of retaliation and loving your enemy, or, you know, instead of going through retaliation of loving your enemy, it actually frees you, right? It removes feelings that generate sin. And it creates an outreach opportunity, like a connection that someone might not normally have, because why is this person loving on me when I so badly hurt them, or I was so mean to them, or what have you? And God knows that, right? He wants to, you know, when you're loving like him, right? Therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. I mean, I always struggle a little bit when I see be perfect, because I know that's always something to strive for. But again, my softball analogy is you know, if you were perfect in the game wouldn't be fun anymore, right? If everyone could achieve perfection all the time and hit home runs every time they got up, you know, no one would watch it. But the goal is to have moments of perfection, right?
Yeah.
And this could be one of those moments where you are reflecting, you know, again, just you're mirroring and reflecting and being the light of God's love that someone has just never seen, and they're going to want to know more.
Oh yeah. That's what I always, I don't know where I got it from. It might've been when I was doing lean management's, you know, like learnings and education of, you know, kind of just the whole practice of Six Sigma. And it was that pursuit to perfection. I remember hearing it from there, was the pursuit to perfection. Nothing will ever be perfect, you know, but the goal is to get as close as you can on a consistent basis. And that's how I always take it, because it is a daily pick up your cross kind of a moment. We're always going to fail. We're always going to fall short of the glory. But it's like, I like that. Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So we have the example. We have the setting. Like that is the perfection. And we're never going to get close to that. But I mean, that's our goal, is to try to get as close as we can. You know, Lean Six Sigma was always 99.9997%. Right. So you had a little room where you just know it may not be exact, but you know, which that's, I always thought that was like a perfect example. And I heard that, I was like, boy, that can apply to life real easy. So it's that pursuit to perfection. And I don't know, you know how my mind can be, man. I was thinking about the tax collector thing. Of course, who's writing this? This is Matthew, you know, Levi. This is guy who his job was a tax collector. So I love that he throws it in there, even on a kind of like a blow to himself, being like, hey, man, we do this, you know. And I thought that was pretty cool that he used a reference that he would have known very well, that others would have really, you know, understood too. Because I mean, they didn't like it, you know, they didn't like tax collectors. But yeah, I mean, this is why I thought it was kind of a neat plot twist, right? Because again, Jesus comes out with a quote of, hey, you've heard this was always said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But that's the plot twist. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So it's a complete change of perspective. And yeah, like you were saying, man, I mean, it takes a strong mind to overcome and see that moment of frustration, anger, whatever it might be, the way you have a vengeance against somebody, because it is in those moments, like you were mentioning about, that can really change a perspective of who God is for somebody. Because you're absolutely right. You harm me. You did wrong to me. Well, I have every right to get angry at you. I have every right to try to get revenge back on you, like we just read about in the last episode, also you mentioned about. But this is that moment to say, you know what? I'm going to throw the heaping coals on your head. Like, I'm going to be nice to you. You know, instead of getting mad at you, I'm going to say, you know what? We quarreled. Okay, it happened. Let's move on. Let's take a step forward and move from this. We're better than this. And then next thing you know, like, whoa, like you just completely changed the course of it all. And so I think it's awesome. Now, again, it's hard persecuting. That's something that honestly, I think every one of us here listening today, and us talking about it, Jim, we've maybe skimmed the surface of persecution, because maybe somebody got mad to, you know, about us, you know, or we said something wrong and somebody's kind of, you know, throwing our name down. But we've never, I don't think, dealt with real persecution like a lot of people do overseas. And so I can't fathom, you know, someone who has brought extreme harm and devastation upon your family, by, you know, killing a loved one or something, and you witnessed it, to still love those. And I think about those stories that do come out where it is an unfortunate event in a courtroom where somebody has murdered a loved one. But then what do you see the family do? They'll look up at the person who committed the crime and say, we forgive you. Mm-hmm. It blows my mind. Obviously, I've never been in a situation. I pray and hope I never am in that situation. If you have ever been, you know, anyone listening out there, I'm so sorry. But I mean, what a testimony to stand to say, look someone in the eye and just be like, you know what? You brought harm, but we still forgive you as Christ forgave us. Like, I mean, absolutely mind blowing.
Yeah, it doesn't take out the hurt of, you know, that person being gone, right? That piece will always forever remain, but yeah. It takes away, you know, that heart matter that could could, and God knows this, right? He knows there's two pieces that he brings out in this. One is like, if you go and serve at a mission and feed people that day, like you volunteer to do that, or you help out an elderly neighbor and clean her yard and stuff, you know, people think, okay, that's nice. It's cool. That's a good, but God knows the power of this outreach, right? Of like, this is at a whole other level. Again, that God level of love, right? That really, this can be a huge outreach that maybe everything else you've done in your life, they think, oh, that person's a good person. But this is something that is just like, this is almost unheard of, right? It's definitely the 0.1% of your 99.99% or whatever you're talking about with Six Sigma, right? This is that small percentage that really, really can like hit someone over, smack them over the head of pay attention to this. And then the other side of the coin is what that does for us personally, right? It just frees our heart, frees our soul of these feelings and these, you know, like the resentment, the anger, the wanting to get even, you know, that is not God inspired, right?
No, not at all. Right.
That is, you know, that's what Satan wants, is he wants that vengeance, and he wants us, and he wants to spark that thoughts, you know, again, back to that common theme that we've had.
Yeah, and I know we got to jump to the footnotes, but there's definitely one thing I was thinking about. And of course, it's all riddled in our history of even the United States, you know, in a shamefully way. But, you know, I was looking at 47, if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? And I was just thinking about that. Like, I'm a people person. I love people. I love getting to know people. And I've always, I don't know, I heard it once say that, you know, every person you see and meet, you know, excuse me, is it's like a book, you know, it's, you know, you get to just, yeah, like if you were to go into a library today, pick a book off the shelf, you can read the back of the cover and kind of get to know a little bit. Sometimes you open the book and you read a little bit of the preface, and then maybe you look at this chapters. I mean, like, you can see a lot about a book in a pretty quick turn. And so I don't know, I've always viewed people as like an open opportunity of a really cool story, and everybody's got an amazing story. That's the thing, is we don't think we do, but we do. We all have a great story. And I was just thinking about our American history, is just, again, like how there was separation of race, and, you know, and just again, people, how they were brought up. It's like, well, you don't talk to these people of color, you don't do this, you don't do that. But then it's like someone finally said, you know what, stupid, like, why, like, I've got friends, you know, and these people are, you know, people are nice. And next thing you know, walls get taken down, you know, barriers get removed. And what do we find? Common ground, beauty. I mean, God created us all, we all bleed the same color red. And when you take that step going forward and you greet outside of your own place, like, how much more blessing is that? Like, I have one interesting fact is, like, again, I love to meet people, and sometimes I meet people who don't speak my language, but we have a common ground of a love for food, and getting to be able to interact with some people who nobody's saying welcome, nobody's saying hi, come to my house, come have dinner with my family, let's get to know each other, even if there's some boundaries and we may not understand everything, we can understand a smile, we can understand, you know, a laugh, and, you know, and we just grow that way. And I know this is, of course, talking about your enemies, but that, I just, when I read that 47, I was like, there's an opportunity for missions right here, right there. By, and stop, you know, worrying just about what's in your own house. Like, open up your doors, talk to your neighbors, talk to everybody. Even if the neighbor cut your grass on your side a little bit, it's okay, let it go. It's a little inconvenience, but you know what? Everybody deserves opportunity. So I don't know. That's what I just thought about. And I was looking at thinking about our history and where we are today and how people have overcome boundaries. And yeah, I just wanted to throw that message out there.
No, I like that a lot, because I think I was in my 30s where I kind of came up with a life motto of, everybody I meet is an opportunity to learn something new. And it definitely provides that same insight you're talking about. Like, everyone's got a story, right? It's like, you don't know everything. And everyone's got some piece of knowledge that you don't have. So
yeah,
you can learn from everyone if you open your ears and your eyes to it. And just listening to people is one of the best ways to love on them, right? People want to know you're interested in them. They want to be heard, and it's a great way to start a conversation. You know, you meet up with people and it's like, what do you do for a living? You know, those common jobs, and then do you take it to that next level to say, oh, tell me about your experience living at this place or what have you. So I like that, because again, it's expressing this whole different level of love that is just sometimes, you know, some people just have a difficult time, you know, conversing with others. Not all people are like you, Dale.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually I was thinking, like, maybe we got a book opportunity here, Jim. Maybe we can coach those, you know, some simple questions, you know, instead of constantly like, hey, how's the weather? Or, oh, you know, that weather outside, you know, okay, well, ask the next question, you know, like, what do you do for a living? And then, like you said, I really like what you said, is that everybody has something that can teach us. And sometimes it is, right? Sometimes it's a growth opportunity, like, wow, that's actually really interesting, I didn't know that. Or it could just be one of those moments like, wow, I don't want to be like that person, because they've gone through, they made some pretty rough choices, and I'm going to learn what they did wrong. And so, like, there's always, no matter what angle you look at, there's something you can learn and apply to your own life in a good way. Yep. I like that perspective. So maybe we got a book opportunity here, man. We could write a book on how to engage in people.
Well, that's always a potential. But I'm going to go right now back into the good book, the good word.
That's our foundation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So five. All right. I got to get aligned with what we're actually reading here. So 43, 44, and then there's 48, right? 48 is a big one. All right. So 43, 44, just to go back to those verses about love your neighbors, hate your enemies, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for them. All right. So by telling us not to retaliate, Jesus keeps us from taking the law into our own hands. By loving and praying for our enemies, we can overcome evil with good. The Pharisees interpreted Leviticus 19:18 as teaching that they should only love those who love in return. And in Psalms 139 and 140 as meaning that they should hate their enemies. But Jesus says we are to love our enemies. If you love your enemies and treat them well, you will truly show that Jesus is Lord of your life. This is possible only for those who give themselves fully to God, because only He can deliver people from natural selfishness. We must trust the Holy Spirit to help us show love to those for whom we may not feel love. And I agree there that this kind of love takes some strong alignment with God.
Supernatural, man, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then let's dive into this discussion, right, of be perfect, right? And I was kind of using that analogy of there's moments of perfect, like, you know, when you hit a home run in softball, that's a moment of perfection of your at bat, right? But it doesn't happen every time. So there's just moments of those. Even in, you know, there's some days where, right, we feel like, man, I'm so aligned with God, I'm doing good. And other days we're like, am I even being a Christian today?
Right.
You know, so let's see what the scholars have to say about this. Because whenever I see, honestly, when I see that be perfect, I get slightly uncomfortable. But because I just know it's a God level thing. All right. So how can we be perfect? One, in character. In this life, we cannot be flawless, but we can aspire to be Christ-like as much as possible. Two, in holiness, like the Pharisees, we are to separate ourselves from the world's sinful values, but unlike the Pharisees, we are to be devoted to God's desire rather than our own and carry His love and mercy into the world. Three, this one's going to be tough for us, in maturity. As you guys can figure out by now, sometimes.
Yeah, Dale, I'll never be mature.
Dale,
yeah,
and I just definitely, yeah, this one's, so listen closely, Dale. In maturity, we can't achieve Christ-like character and holy living all at once, but we must grow toward maturity and wholeness. Just as we expect different behaviors from a baby, a child, a teenager, and an adult, so God expects different behavior from us depending on our stage of spiritual development. That's kind of a great. I like that.
That was written by a parent. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, but I like that too. Like, yeah. You know, that hey, you don't become super Christian, right? Right? I mean, right. There are those exceptions, but it's a constant growth, right? That's why it's a daily walk, a relationship, right? It's something you're constantly building on. And then in four, in love, we can seek to love others as completely as God loves us. We can be perfect if our behavior is appropriate for our maturity level. Perfect, yet with much room to grow. Our tendency is to sin. Our tendency to sin must never deter from striving to be more like Christ. Christ calls all of his disciples to excel, to rise above mediocrity, and to mature in every area, becoming like him. Those who strive to become perfect will one day be perfect, even as Christ is perfect. Oh, man, that's like the slam dunk at the end.
Boy, that's it, man. And I like that. I think that's a great – I'm glad that they really did bring that in. And I think it's important, like you were reading again about the maturity piece, about the different behaviors. You know, don't stay in one spot. You know, like that's the important thing, is constantly grow, because – I know I would hate for my 10-year-old to still act like a toddler, like a, you know, terrible twos or, you know, tremendous threes. You know, you coach them out of that. You coach them, you know, your child through those stages. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just like even for us, we are coaching ourselves as we get older and we have different perspectives because we've experienced more. You know, I think you're right, man. Like, it's not a superhero cape on day one. You know, it's obviously a growth in time. But to be able to focus on making sure you're moving, you're still growing. And yeah, awesome. Man, that was good. That was really good.
Yeah, and then the good news of that one day God will make us whole again and perfect in him. So
you got a lot of work for me though, man.
I know that he's gonna have to work overtime that day when we show up.
For sure.
Man. Oh, Father God, thank you so much again for just helping us to see that in difficult situations, especially loving our enemies, to come straight to you, Father, and tap into that strength that will give us that guidance, that wisdom, that direction, and that ability to love like you love. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, man. I love today. This was good. So just remember, everyone, love deeper, be a chain breaker, and just go out there and pursue Christ. Give him your all. And until next time, enjoy the gift of today.